Welcome to the Antioch Word, a podcast for the Antioch College community. My name is Mary Evans, and I'm the 2018 Miller Fellow at WYSO. On today's episode, we'll hear a phone interview with Antioch College alumna Dale Brown from the class of 1976. She talked about why Antioch matters to her and how discovering her disability led to an activism movement that is still thriving today. Dale spoke with WYSO's Juliette Fromholt during the 2017 Antioch College reunion in Yellow Springs.
Okay, so my name's Dale Brown, and I came into Antioch the summer of 71, and my class year is 76. The summer of 72. I came in the summer of 72. I was a transfer, and my class year is 1976.
And where do you currently call home?
Washington, D.C. I've lived here my whole life. I was actually raised in a suburb of Washington, Bethesda, Maryland, and I have engaged in what is our major activity in Washington, D.C. I have been a public servant.
Excellent.
Civil servant.
So you mentioned that you were a transfer student to Antioch. What attracted you to make that decision to become a transfer student?
Well, what happened was I actually applied to Antioch right out of high school. I was a social change agent in high school. I was the leader of the high school rights movement for the student mobilization against the war. So I really wanted to go to Antioch. As a matter of fact, it was the only school I wanted to go to. And there were a couple reasons for that. One was the co-op program. I wanted to work as I went to school. I wanted that experience of different places. And then the second reason was because of the social change matters. I mean, I knew that I wanted to do things that would change the world. I didn't know quite what. And so I wanted to join the Antioch community.
And in terms of co-ops, tell me a little bit about some of the co-ops that you ended up doing while you were here at Antioch.
Well, I worked for the Coldwater State Home and Training School, which was an institution for what was then called mental retarded, quote, children. And that's very bad terminology. We would currently say people who are intellectually disabled and not call them children. But anyway, it was a large institution. And I had responsibility for taking, basically helping the students who were there. And what I did on that co-op was kind of interesting. I got 11... I was told to pick the students I would work with, and I had the title of assistant occupational therapy, therapist. And what I did was I picked the 11 people who did not have any attention from staff. I just was given all their files, and I picked those 11. And then I worked on treatment plans for them with the occupational therapist who was there who helped me. And then I administered those treatment plans. And it was interesting because they thought of me as some kind of miracle worker. I mean, my kids did real, they were kids, actually. They were youngsters who I was working with. They did really, really well. I followed directions as given by the occupational therapist, but I also worked very hard with them. And I'm convinced the reason they did well was because they hadn't gotten any attention yet. And so, you know, just me working with them for the hour, I think it was one or two times a week, you know, made a big difference to them. I also spent a lot of time in the wards. I went to the union meetings of the people who worked, the attendants, they were called, who worked with the students. And I learned, I mean, I saw how bad institutions were. And I also saw, you know, what it was like to be there. I learned a whole aspect of the disability community that most advocates for the disability community don't really know. I also worked for the I forgot what it was called. It was a great boycott. It was Cesar Chavez's group that fought the growers. And I spent 6 months there in Texas. And what we basically did was we leafleted Safeways and told people not to buy anything at Safeway. I worked in India, South America teaching English. That was an incredible experience. So I had a large number of co-ops. And I also, I worked for a factory at Yellow Springs Instrument Company for 3 months.
So you mentioned that you have worked in civil service since your time at Antioch. How had have your co-op experience influenced the work that you're doing now?
Okay. I wanted to talk about the self-help movement that I founded for people who have learning disabilities. And what happened, I mean, I can't really make a specific, I wasn't prepared. I mean, I probably could think about it. I mean, I think what the co-op taught me was that you can change, I mean, when we went on co-op, we went and we had to find our housing, we had to go into the city, we had to start our jobs, and you learned that you could do that. You also learned how to work. I mean, when I started working, my first job, I already knew a lot about how to fit into a job. So the co-op really was helpful in terms of work habits. And it also gave me a chance to try different communities and to figure out who I was. Because, you know, when you're in a certain family or in a certain school, you know, you develop a certain role or a certain way that you think you are. But in Antioch, I was a conservative kind of in terms of my politics. But everywhere else, I was a liberal. And that taught me that I had a sense of who I was and my politics and my values that was always going to be the same no matter where I was. And I think for a lot of people, you get sort of caught in these labels. And that didn't happen to me, and that was really helpful.
So you mentioned the self-help movement that you started. Tell me more about that.
Well, okay, I'd like to just go sequentially with what happened at Antioch and why I think Antioch was so important. And to me, first of all, I came to Antioch as a change agent already because I had been responsible for bringing thousands of high school students in for the National Mobilization Against the War. And that videotape about that is up on this website about the Vietnam War and about the protests, and you know, it's a history site, and I can send that to you if you want. And then I graduated from high school, and like I said, I was determined to be a social change agent or wanted to do something. I didn't quite know what it was. Went to Pitzer for a year, and I was rejected from Antioch the first year I applied. That was why I went to Pitzer. And I tried again the second time because what I did was when I was in Pitzer, and this is a little bit playing the system, but I just found professors that would give me A's. Part of why Antioch rejected me was I did not have good grades in high school because of my learning disabilities. And so the second year, I just went on a campaign. I mean, I wrote to members of the board of directors. I just kind of wrote to everybody, did everything I could to rattle every cage and say, look, you know, my grades may not have been good, but, you know, you're supposed to take minorities, you're supposed to take diversity. I really would be a good member of the community. And I don't know whether that worked or the fact that I basically had 6 A's and 1 B at Pitzer because of what I had done in terms of the way I had organized my classes. So I did get in the summer of 72. And I was right about Antioch. It was a fantastic school for me. First of all, there was a sense of community. People worked together. We had group projects. You didn't do everything alone. And consequently, it was extremely helpful. So what happened was when I was at Antioch, I worked, as I mentioned, for a factory. And while I was working for that factory, I ended up having a really hard time. I was significantly poorer at the assembly line work than most of the people that I knew. That were working with me, including the other co-ops. And there was one incident where a supervisor told me to put together, I think it was 19 probes. And she said, at a certain point when I was doing my work, she says, Dale, it's taking you an awfully long time to put together these 9 probes. And I said, well, you said 19. No, I said 9. No, you said 19. I was kind of agitated, you know. And basically, it turned out she had said 9. I turned over the 9. She took the other 3 and used it for something else. And I thought, you know, I think something's wrong with my hearing. I had known at that point that I had challenges with seeing and with touching, but I didn't know I had a problem with hearing. And I got very depressed because I had felt like I had failed so poorly in this factory work. So I went to a counselor, the counseling center at Antioch. And again, this is an example of how Antioch is a sense of community. There wasn't any stigma. You were allowed to go to the counseling center if you had a problem. I don't think I was at all ashamed or closed or anything like that. I learned about the stigma problems when I was working on the self-help movement. But I just went on down and I said, this is what happened. And the woman at the counseling center told me that she thought it sounded like, she says, it sounds to me like you have perceptual problems. And I said, really? And she gave me some tests. And it turned out that I scored the lowest in what was called the Wetman test of auditory discrimination. And she told me that there was nothing known at that time about LD in adults, that people were supposed to outgrow their learning disabilities. But she had just gone to this Constance Boltman Wilson Center where they were looking at learning disabilities in adults. And she said, go to the library, study this. And I think you might have learning disabilities. I think you need to look at it. But, you know, there's nothing going on professionally for you at this time. Now, again, this is an example of Antioch, right? I mean, how many other professionals would say that to a student? They'd either say, you know, we can't tell you anything, because, or they would say, you know, they just didn't know what was going on. But she totally trusted me within the Antioch philosophy and told me what she did know. So I went to the library. And in the library, I discovered that, yes, a lot of my problems were, in fact, at the time, it was called minimal brain dysfunction. And I studied it, and all of the symptoms were things that I had experienced. So they talked about the coordination issues, and they talked about frustration and anger, all of which I thought was due to dealing with, you know, the difficulties that you had. So, I mean, I could talk in more detail. I don't think you want that, but what I wanted to tell you the story of how Antioch influenced me. So I realized as a result of all this time in the library and all of this work that, yes, I had this learning disability. And then I was had to go home. And at Antioch, again, because of the sense of community, we all coordinated rides to get home, to get to our different places. I had to get from Ohio to D.C. And somebody's mother, not them, was going from Ohio to D.C. And so we decided, she offered me a ride. And we agreed we were going to meet at like 10 o'clock. And she said, and I said to her several times, so we're meeting at 10 o'clock at the whatever it was, student union, I guess. And she said, you know, Dale, you've told me three times that we're going to meet at 10 o'clock at the student union. And I said, yes, I have this problem with hearing. I called it auditory perceptual problems. So I did have to make sure. And she said, okay. So on the ride back, she told me that she also had a similar problem. And then she said words that would change my life. She says, Dale, up until now, I thought that everybody was giving me the wrong information. But what you're telling me about your situation is that actually I have an actual disability. And we talked for an hour. She talked to me. And I said, wow, I've really got to spread the word about that.
You're listening to an interview with Dale Brown on the Antioch Word. She spoke with WYSO's Juliette Fromholt during Antioch's 2017 reunion. Next, Dale talks about the self-help movement organization, which she founded, and shares some advice for current and future Antioch students.
And that was why I decided to start the self-help movement. And at that point, I just started studying. And this is, again, how Antioch helped me, because it gave me the academic skills I needed to be able to form a self-help movement. So I did a lot of studying. Basically spent time in the library, exactly as I had been suggested by the counselor. And Antioch does something that I don't even think it's aware that it does, and I assume it's still this way. But here's the thing. I had learning disabilities. I had a really hard time with my work. So I needed what we now call, and what I was fighting for in the self-help movement, something called reasonable accommodation, a legal term which we actually didn't even have then. But what Antioch did, because of its flexibility and because of the way the professors were, was it kind of was gave me what I called natural accommodations. And I'll give a couple examples. First of all, I worked a lot slower than the other students. And the way it worked was you had these quarters. I think you've changed the calendar now. Then you had 2 weeks, or I think 2.5 weeks between the quarters. So I had to do I had to turn something in late every quarter. And so what I do is I just ask my professors if any of them minded, and one of them would always say they didn't mind. And so one of my projects would come in late. Now, this was, nobody even thought of this. I mean, I don't think anybody even minded. I never even said, I mean, I started doing this when I started there, asking if I could please turn one in late. And there wasn't, like, a huge issue. Nobody was, like, judgmental, like, ugh. In fact, people complimented me. They said, you know, I really like the way you're planning ahead. we had a lot of flexibility in terms of how what our projects would be, so I could be creative about what, you know, what I could actually do. I had, what's ironic, since I'm an author now and I've written 5 published books, but I actually had some difficulty writing, and there was this class called Writing Workshop. Now, the thing that was interesting about this class is I realized years later that it was actually remedial writing, but what they said was, we will give you individual tutoring, and you will have to turn in one paper, I think it was a 3-page paper, once a week. So I signed up for it. And that was where I learned how to outline. That was where I learned a lot of my grammar. It was individual instruction, and it was great. I mean, it really helped me. It improved my writing dramatically. Now, I was a writer before. I was a poet. I was actually a published poet. But the point is, I learned how to do academic papers, which turned out to be essential for me as a public policy person, as you can imagine, because in the government, that's what you do is papers, or you do a lot of them. So Antioch basically enabled me to find out that I had learning disabilities and gave me the skills that I needed to be able to move forward. So what happened after that was, you know, I left Antioch, graduated. I took a couple jobs. I was a court reporter, I think was one of them. Probably, I think that was my main job. And then I joined American Occupational Therapy Association. And what happened was, in my mind, was this learning disabilities that I had, thought I had, and I'll just name them. I had visual perceptual problems. I had trouble. My mom taught me to read when I was young. So a lot of people would use the word dyslexia. I'm not sure that's really accurate today with me, but you know, the point is I had visual perceptual problems and challenges reading. I told you about my challenges hearing. I didn't hear accurately, trouble hearing sound against the background, trouble hearing the sounds in order, and trouble distinguishing between two like sounds. I had a lot of challenges with coordination. That was why I had so much trouble in the factory. So I had pretty severe learning disabilities. And at the time, there was nothing for adults. But the thing is, there was at that point a group of people graduating college, all of whom had their learning disabilities noticed. And I decided, and again, this was partially due to Antioch, I would say, in that I thought that I could do it, that I was going to form a group of people with learning disabilities and that we would help each other. We called it the self-help movement. And there was a group called Time Out to Enjoy, which was national, and I formed Association of Learning Disabled Adults, which was in the D.C. area. So ALDA basically grew. We became national. We became the National Network of Learning Disabled Adults. And at a certain point, what happened was I was on a contract job. You know those jobs that end at a certain point? I'm sure that's what a lot of jobs are now. At the time I was at my first job, it wasn't as typical. And so I needed to find a new job, and I wanted the job to be in the area of disability. So I used Richard Nelson Bowles' book, What Color is Your Parachute, and found a job working at the President's Committee. It was then called It was called the President's Committee on Employment of the Handicapped. And the President's Committee on Employment of the Handicapped worked all on disability, and my boss, because I had used this interviewing for information, really wanted me to found learning disabilities. He wanted me to add that to national policy. And that's what I did, basically. I did 2 things, both at once. I led a self-help movement and an advocacy movement, and I also worked within the system to change laws and rules. So I'll give one example, and then I'll stop, which is Rehabilitation Services Administration at the time would only help people with learning disabilities if they said they had to either have what they called mental retardation. Again, I want to stress that is now called intellectual disabilities, but it was called mental retardation at the time, or you had to say you had a visual impairment. I think that was correct. And within the system, I worked with I and others at the President's Committee on Employment of the Handicapped, worked with Rehabilitation Services Administration to change that so that their learning disabilities were considered what they called a severe disability, a disability that they would help people if they had. Also, on the outside, I was also working with all the different groups that had been formed at that point of people with learning disabilities. And they gave testimony. They worked in local areas. I think there was a national hearing all over the country, and people spoke at those hearings saying, yes, we have not outgrown our learning disabilities. It is a real disability. We really do need your help. And so between that external pressure and the internal pressure, we were successful in changing that rule.
So given your experience at Antioch and the work that you have been doing since then, why do you think that the world needs a college like Antioch today?
Well, obviously, first of all, okay, social change, I mean, it's a big deal. It's really hard. And I think Antioch offered me, and I believe continues to offer, a really solid combination of academic structured, you know, experiences that help you be challenged, as well as support to meet the challenge. And I think there's a myth right now that social change is easy, that all you have to do is put something on the web and kind of announce it and tell people to come, and then it'll happen. But you know, take a look at the things that have changed just in the past couple of years. I mean, getting the Affordable Care Act passed was hard. And the and keeping it is hard. It's so much hard work. And we need people who can do that work. And that means, number one, building relationships, and number two, the academic skills that it takes to do it. If I had tried to found the self-help movement without being able to go to the library, without being able to, no, you don't do research in the library anymore, now you do it on the internet. But that's a skill too. I mean, I'm sorry, doing your online searches gets harder every day. So I think we need a school that will help with that, that will provide both structure and challenge and support so that we can produce people who are able to go out there and make a living and get a job and make and create the change that is needed.
Given your experience and what you're saying about the need for a school that can essentially help and enable and empower change makers, if you had the opportunity to talk to a young person who was looking for a college, what would you say to them given your experience here at Antioch and what you're doing now as well?
All I could say is that it's a small school. It'll help you create a sense of community, and the people in it are very involved in social change, and that the faculty are very dedicated. They'll work with you, and I would encourage you to take a look at it.
That was Antioch College alumna Dale Brown speaking with WISO's Juliet Frumholt at the 2017 Antioch College reunion. You've been listening to the Antioch Word Podcast. I'm Mary Evans, the 2018 Miller Fellow at WISO. You can find more episodes of our podcast at WISO.org, on NPR One, or subscribe on Apple Podcasts.